it's the war in the streets and the war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I never did a crime I have to do, but now I'm back with the facts, giving back to you. So that's all I have for today. The reason being is that the system or whatever, the people in charge of the money, they have money for everything but except, you know,
helping
giving
people.
Back to their own people. For some reason, we spend so much more money overseas and, you know, feeding these.
It's not spending money. It's laundering money.
So it comes back to them.
Yeah.
So is it given back?
How do you get the prime minister of Ukraine or the president of Ukraine, his wife, buying a Bugatti when they keep on asking the world to give them money?
Yes, that's true. But did you know before the Russian invasion, you can go look at it. Ukraine was one of the most corrupt countries.
Oh, I know
on
that. I know that, right? For a fact.
But since that whole thing happened and the West allies, we have to help them out. Right?
They took out the last president. And the world's just in a... And we were just talking off mic just before we got started how anybody who's familiar with Toronto, maybe what I would say 10 years ago and older,
yeah.
If you go to Toronto now, it feels different.
Yeah.
It just feels different. And I don't know exactly what it is, if it's the people that are living there or the people that are visiting there or if it's a combination of the both. But Toronto is not the city that I remember it being.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Like, it feels like I used to go to downtown and it was like a different vibe. Now that we go to downtown, we feel like this negative energy. You know what I mean? And
everyone's got a chip.
For some reason.
Everyone's got a chip. Well, I think the reason is money. I think money is making a lot of people this way. Either you have too much of it or you don't have enough of it or you're trying to figure out how to get some of it. Like, it's just, it's hard, but it's just, it's a different vibe. But that's not what this show's about.
100% not. We just wanted to give a little fact check before we start, right?
Ben, welcome to the show, man. Thanks so much for coming on the mic. And I want to actually, like, officially tell everybody that you're going to be handling all the Construction Life swag and all the merch and everything like that. So obviously I'm wearing one of your new zip down hoodies.
Yes, sir.
A great
yes,
one, right? But then we also got t-shirts and everything's gonna, there's a logo on the back.
Yeah, logo on the back. Yeah, so right? Yeah.
So there's gonna be a bunch of TCL swag that you're gonna be handling. And then also you've got a buddy who's gonna be doing signage.
Yeah, signage, safety board.
You can do it all customized, right? So you can get your logos on it. So your safety board, all kinds of shit like that. It's just the construction industry is completely changed now that I remember when I first got into construction, it was just a magnetic sign on the side of the truck.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the extent of marketing. Yeah. That's what it was. Maybe one or two guys had a t-shirt that was done maybe, you know, like in the kiosk or something
right?
Like just printed out.
Printed out.
Probably cost like, what, $50 or something
that? Yeah, get one or two inches, that's
today,
it.
It's different now. Today, it's like you can do coffee, you can do espresso cups, you can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the marketing and the promotional world has grown so much. Like at this point, you can't print on anything except water and air. You know what I mean?
You could probably print on ice.
Water.
On water.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those things that they do the mags or something? It's some kind of liquid.
Oh, you mean the ones that you dip?
Dip and they do
I've seen those, yeah.
I mean.
So it's kind of like painting or something? Like it sticks to it, right?
Yeah, and then it's crazy. When I first saw that a while back, maybe a couple of years ago, I was like, damn.
But you get one shot at it. You dump it in there and you get one shot at it.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
If you don't do it right, there goes your wheel.
Guys are doing it on hard hats too that way, right? Anything with plastic, anything that has really hard
hats. Yeah.
Like a curved surface.
Curves? Oh, no. The curves, they have this type of screen printing.
Yeah.
So it's one of those palettes, right? So you get a screen. And then you have this little circular thing. You put the hat. And then let's say the logo, you want it here. So what it does, when the squeegee passes over the ink, the little thing at the bottom turns.
Really?
Right? So it goes like this. Yeah. So now it's very hard to put, for example, you have two colors, black and red, for example, right? Your logo.
Yeah.
And you want to print on
the hat. You got to do the layers.
Yeah. So it's really hard.
But how do you line up the layers on a
It takes time.
Yeah. Skill.
You have to try it because you don't know. It's extremely hard. That's why when we do screen printing, when it takes the setup is the time that takes the hardest and the longest. And when we start, we do maybe like 300-400 shirts an hour. And we can't do that for 10 hours if we want it.
So I know, okay, so hang on a sec. First of all, I got to share all the information, right? So Ben Nasseri is here, right? From T-Thrones.
T-Thrones, that's right.
T-Thrones, and you can find them on IG under T-Thrones, at T-Thrones.
T-Thrones,
that's And then the website is www.tthrones.com.
Yes.
Email?
We care?
We care at T-Thrones.com.
Yeah, W-E-C-A-R-E at T-Thrones.com.
What else is there?
Phone number? 647-401-7733.
Okay, and then Pro Prints here is for the actual signage and stuff, right?
So any guys, you need anything regarding signage, safety boards, my brother Elman is not my actual brother, a very good friend of mine.
Brother, yes.
Yeah, Elman. Pro Prints.
ProPrints.com, yeah. You'll find them there. But everything will be connected somehow. You'll find them through TCL. You find the show, you find the website, then you find out who we're using, what we're working with. And 100%. Then if you guys want to get some stuff done, then by all means, get some stuff done. Sorry, I still have my cough. How did you get into the printing business?
The printing business basically...
got you.
Got me, yes. So I was always fascinated by clothing, right? So when I was a kid, back home, I saw this... Because, okay, you got to understand where I come from.
I want you to share. I want you to tell people where everybody came. So back home is where?
Back home is in Afghanistan, right? Okay. So we were not used, especially in the 90s. So I'm born in 94. So, okay, guys, you got to remember. I have vivid memories. So I remember a lot of stuff, even when I was like 2-3 years old. So back in 96 or 97, that's where the Taliban came. Invaded our town, and you would see them wearing different type of clothing, and we weren't used to the Western type of clothing, right? Like, yeah, you will have people wearing T-shirts, but
Western influence, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is otherwise like we have a very different type of clothing, right? It's like long cloth and very like silky material because it's very hot. It's not humid. It's very hot. 40 degrees dry, right? So, and then when we moved out of Afghanistan, because we had to leave, we weren't safe.
So that would have been, so the Taliban came in after Russia was trying to invade in there.
Russia were there.
Russia was already there at the same time the Taliban was there?
Yes.
Okay.
So Russia was there. They were, back then they were the Soviets.
Yes.
The communists.
Yeah.
And then what happened, I think there was either US, Britain, and Russia, right? So there was, since the Russians were there, there was no influence from the British and the US. So they wanted to have their own influence there, right?
But that's when the time was when the US and Britain were alongside with Russia.
No.
I thought they were against Taliban.
No. So the Talibans were funded by the US.
By the US, yeah, yes, okay.
That's because the Russians, they had the USSR back then, they had influence in Afghanistan. So once they had that influence, US didn't have any influence because their secret services, nothing was working, right?
Yeah.
So they try to, you know, as they always do, divide and conquer. And
the USSR was there to take the land from Afghanistan.
Yeah, they wanted to kick out the Russians, the Communist Party. Okay. Right? Because Afghanistan had a Communist Party.
Yeah.
And they were backed by the USSR back then. Okay. Right? So this goes all the way back to World War I. So when you look at World War I, it was Shah. In Afghanistan, we had a king.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing with Iran. Iran had a king. His name was also Shah Pahlavi, I believe. And what happened is that during World War I, the Afghans didn't like the Britons. They didn't like the Brits.
There's lots of people that didn't like the Britons. So still to this day, don't like the Britons.
Yeah. So in World War I, the USSR and the Americans, they weren't allies, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
So now, Afghanistan and Iran, they were, you don't hear about it, but they were the people really pushing all the fuels and everything, right?
Yeah,
because Iran had a very good deal with the Brits, I think.
Oh, with the Brits. Okay. Yeah.
And because Iran has a lot of oil, like people don't know about this. My sister, when she goes back to Iran once in a while, 5 cents a liter. 5 cents a liter. Like, With that dollar, she told me.
I get it. I understand it.
And the water is.
And Canada has the same amount of, if not a greater reservoir of oil. And we could have 5 cents a liter too, but we don't.
Yeah.
That's a whole other argument. But that's what it
is. Someone has to make money, man.
Well, someone is invested into Saudi oil coming into Canada. So then why bother digging right in your own backyard to make the fuel costs here so much cheaper? Could you imagine if you go to the gas station and you're paying 5 cents a liter here in Canada?
Nobody's going to work at the gas station.
Well, first of all, the people that are squeezing everybody, talking about the vibe in Toronto, the people that are squeezing everybody in Canada, they won't make money. You can't make money off of 5 cents a liter. 100%. You can make money off of $1.55 a liter. Yeah. That's where you can make money off.
100%.
Right? So, okay. So, sorry. I interrupted you. So, back to that. Yeah.
So, after that, there was the people of Afghanistan didn't really like the British, right? And the king at that time didn't like the British as well. But they were somehow considered as ally.
Okay.
So, the British, I think, they considered themselves as ally. So, after World War One, then the British started thinking, it's like, huh, these guys might actually go with the Russian, right?
Yeah.
Why us? So then it started creating this kind of agenda of, it was a back and forth between Russia and the US and Britain, right? So going back to 1990s, that's when there was war before that between the Taliban, because they were funded way before that, 1990s. Yeah, yeah. So that's when... In 1990 something, I think the Communist Party of Afghanistan fell, and then there's two groups that came and took over, and then they started fighting each other, right? So then the Taliban in 1995 or 97, maybe even 98, that's when they came. So I remember when they came, it was brutal, bro. Like, I don't want to say, because people
this listen. Would have been the '90s, right?
Yeah, in the
'90s, late '90s,
late '90s, maybe 97, 98.
And you were just born.
I was three years old.
Wow.
So, you see, like when I still remember when I was a kid. So we had a house back home. The way like the houses are made, since we have so much land, you have a house. Bless you. We had our kitchen and stuff on one side of the house.
Okay.
And we had the living room on the other side. Okay. And we had a little Porsche. Well, it wasn't little, it was a pretty big Porsche, right? So, and when the war broke out, we had to hide for like a couple of days there, right? And...
Because were they just like bombing everything?
Bombing everything. There was like...
You could get hit one day.
You could get spared
one day.
Yeah, you don't know where you're going to live. Wow. So I was about to cross that little Porsche, and then I look back and you see that these helicopters just shooting like rockets, like firecrackers. Like you just see from far, right? I froze. Like I couldn't walk.
In between the two areas?
Yeah. So my brother Ali came and he grabbed my hand and he took me in. Like I still remember. I was maybe 3 years old or something. It's like vivid image, you know what I mean? So that happened, and then we left. And we went to Iran, and in Iran, I started seeing people with hoodies. You know what I mean? I was always fascinated by clothing. So when I started seeing people with hoodies, it's like, this is something new. I've never seen this before.
With hoodies, like with logos and things like that?
No, just hoodies.
Just hoodies, okay.
Just plain hoodies, because I wasn't used to that, right? And I kept crying to my mom. I was like, I want a hoodie, I want a hoodie, I want a hoodie. So she couldn't get it or whatever it was, right? She had her own reasons, and we couldn't get it. So one day, before coming to Canada, my mom got me a hoodie, right? And now I look back at it, I have like 10,000 hoodies at the shop. I will never cry over a hoodie.
What was the first hoodie that she got you?
It was no brand, but it was
no
so
brand
soft.
At all, right?
Yeah, it's like those.
But
soft.
Just the idea of having
the like hood over your head. Yeah,
that was it.
That was it.
Was it a zip one or was it just
just a hoodie?
A hoodie, right? Just cover all. Okay, what color was it? Black.
Gray. It was a gray hoodie. Yeah, I still remember. It was very soft and silky on the outside. But yeah, man, that's that. And then once I growing up, you know, we were five kids. My mom couldn't afford to get us like designer brand for everybody, right?
Of course not. Yeah.
So we always had like clothing. We our clothes was always clean, folded and stuff like that. And you know, God bless my mom for that, right? So she worked hard to keep us to bring us here and keep us alive. And yeah. And then once I growing up, I always looked at things, and I always was very, what you call it, I like to look at things, right, and analyze it. So since I was a kid, I was very curious, and I like to analyze things.
When did you come to Canada?
I came in 2000 or 2001. In that year, 2000 or 2000. I think end
so
of
you would
2000,
have been what, like 6 or 7 years old?
6 or 7, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, came here, was dead frozen, man.
You came in dead winter.
Dead winter. I think it was
February?
December.
December
11th. Yeah, December 11th. It was freezing. We weren't used to it, right?
You never seen snow before? No, you've seen snow.
It's snow. We've seen it in Iran once.
Yeah.
Right before we came, we saw a little bit of snow. We made a snowman. You know what I mean? Right, we came. But when we came here, we came to Montreal. We didn't come to Toronto, right? Man, that wasn't normal.
Yeah, that's like snow. That's like stupid snow. That's why
that's
I'm not there.
That's crazy snow.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they gave us... They gave us these huge jackets with boots and everything, the snow pants when we were kids. Man, but it was actually fun because we used to fight each other and throw each other on the snow, you know? We'd play soccer on the snow. I had a good childhood despite everything that you know, life put us through, but it just makes you stronger, right?
How was it when you were coming into the country 23 years ago?
Montreal or here?
No, just coming into Canada, Montreal, right? At first. Like, how was the government when when you guys came in?
The government was okay. I didn't know much politics back then, but yeah. we were okay. Life was affordable, right?
23 years ago, yeah.
Like, I remember we could go buy, like, you know, those canned drinks for, like, 25 cents or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You could buy, you know, like, those gummy bears for, like...
Nothing.
1 cent.
Reasonable price.
Yeah. I said, like, now I go to the store, you see anything. With a dollar, you can't buy anything. It's useless. I remember back in this, a dollar, you're getting
a
popsicle.
Yeah,
you're getting
a lot.
You put those gummy bears inside the popsicle and everything.
Yeah.
Now it's none of that, man. You get nothing.
When did you start the printing business then? But you're still a kid at 6 years old, 7 years old at that time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did not have to do anything with clothing. It's during COVID.
Yeah. Right?
During COVID. I started getting into like clothing, and I started saying, okay, you know what? Let me make my own brand, right? Because I was like, I'm going to buy something. It doesn't matter.
But you didn't know anything about the machinery. You didn't know anything about the printing process,
right? I didn't know the process.
So how did you, what did you do? Go online and just look for information or just reach out to people that are doing it?
Yeah, so I was looking online first. I wanted to see the fabrics and materials and everything. Then I had a homeboy. He has a, sports apparel store in downtown.
Okay.
Right? So I asked him, he's like, hey, man, like, I'm interested in this and that. And he's like, okay, come. So he took me to one of their suppliers, and then he's like, hey, man, you can buy this machine and you can start printing your own stuff.
What was the cost of the machine?
The cost of the machine, man...
It was like the price of a car, no?
More than the price of a
car. More than the price of a car.
Yeah, so I invested maybe $60,000.
Yeah, a lot. To start.
To start.
Which is a huge gamble, no? And that was during COVID, too.
Yeah, during COVID.
So you didn't even know if it was going to work.
I didn't know anything. Like, if I go back, the only reason I'm still here and we grew is because of the hustle. You know what I mean?
I know, but okay, so I want to talk a little bit about that, because the thing is that I have a huge amount of respect for immigrants, right? Because I get sick and tired of homegrown Canadians complaining about there's no opportunity here. But yet, immigrants come here and they see the same thing that homegrown Canadians see, and they see opportunity. So who's not going to the optometrist here? Like, somebody's not seeing things correctly. There's opportunity if you make it. Simple as that. So you looked at it like... Everybody was being hit by COVID and the bullshit attached to COVID. And then you said to yourself, I want to start a business.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start a business that I know nothing about.
Nothing.
During such an uncertain time in history.
Yeah.
And like, how do you get the balls to do that? How do you look at that and go, yeah, this is a good idea. And you just, your thought process is the hustle. You think that if we make the phone calls, if we go talk to people, if we start telling people, T-Thrones is here, we'll print you this, we'll print you that, we'll print you that, we'll get business? Is that how you were just thinking things?
To be honest with you, before then, you guys got to remember, my father passed away before I was born. So
back home.
So yeah. My father was never here. It was never in my life, right? And he was very well off. Like, my family had money, right? Until my father passed away. When he passed away, his partners stole everything and they left nothing, right?
Partners or family partners?
No, he had partners.
Partners.
Yeah. And
Your mom raised the kids while he was building the business.
Yes. His business was multi-million dollar business, right? We're talking in Afghanistan and Uzbekistan.
Okay.
And Uzbekistan is a very developed country compared to Afghanistan. When you see there's Rolls Royce and everything in there.
Okay.
When you look at Tashkent, there's very advanced country. Like, people, they don't know about it. If you actually look into it, you will see even Kazakhstan. Borat was making fun of them, but those countries are very well developed, right?
What was the business that he was in?
He was into antiquity.
Okay.
He was in antiquity, right?
Yeah.
He would buy, like, carpets and stuff like that. You could sell
it. And global, sold it globally?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't only carpet. It was, they call it China. You know, the cops and everything.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, very old. It's not 50-year-old. It's, like, hundreds, yeah. Right?
Quality stuff.
Very good quality. So when he passed away, because the business wasn't in Afghanistan, so the partner took everything and left with my mom with nothing, right? We had only the house that we were living in. That's about it. And in a country like ours, when there's only a woman, people don't tend to talk to the woman.
No.
Right.
Women are perceived differently there.
Yes, it's because, you know, they don't... Because there's a thing between men and women, right? They don't want to do business with women. Some religious reasons, right? Because they cannot look at the woman as well in the eyes, and these are all temptations and everything. They have whatever they have for a reason, right?
Some of that shit happens here in Canada too. You'll get certain people at a certain level of a business not wanting to deal with a woman that's on the other side of the table.
Oh, yeah.
They rather deal with a man, I know.
Yeah, and there was a... No, going back to our conversation. So, yeah, we lost everything. So, my mom had everything she wanted in life. The next day, she lost everything.
Just like that?
Just like that. Everything gone. Except the house that we were living in.
Can I ask how your dad passed?
I think it was in a war or something. So...
But you're not the eldest, are you?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
Yeah, my mom was 2 months pregnant when my father passed away.
But then your older siblings, they knew your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody seen my dad.
You're the only one that didn't?
Yeah. Mm. So I'm the only one that didn't, right? So coming, answering your question of things, I didn't have anybody to teach me business, right?
Not even your siblings?
No, we all went to university. Right, you know, the traditional way of going to university.
Studying what, like different?
I studied kinesiology and psychology.
Okay.
So I had really good grades. I had really great grades. And
that was in Montreal?
No, I studied here. I came to Toronto in 2008.
Okay.
In December 2008.
So right before the recession.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were just living in a apartment and everything. And... So in 2020, after the first lockdown, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, the second, there's not going to be any lockdown. So I was like, yeah, let me try it. So when I went into clothing, then I bought this machine and everything. I didn't know anything about it. So now
it's a
I have
huge risk.
Huge risk and a lot of learning curve.
Yeah.
And, you know, problem came with the machine. The people wasn't very supportive, this and that. And I had two options. Either I give up. I lose 60,000 or keep grinding and doing what I have to do to survive, right?
Do you know a lot of people, Ben, that chose option number one?
A lot of people, they make money like that. The people that sells a machine?
No. Like you're saying that you have two options, right? You either just give up and just take the hit of the loss of the money of buying the machine and then go try something else, or you just keep on hustling and make this machine work and make money for you. But do you know a lot of people that choose that first option saying,
of course,
forget it, I'm going to give up?
Yeah. The supplier that sold me that machine.
Why do you think they do that?
Because they have nothing to lose. Yeah, they lost 60,000.
So it's a small amount that they lose.
It can be a big amount. Huh. They just don't want to do it. It's.
Why do you think you did it?
For me, it was kind of like a life and death type of thing. You know what I mean? I don't like losing.
Your mindset on.
It doesn't matter. That's my mindset.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's like it doesn't matter if it's small or big.
Yeah.
You still create it as a life or death.
Yeah.
It's a right or wrong. It's going to happen or not happen.
Yeah, I have that option.
Okay.
Right? Because when we got the machine, there was a problem with the machine, right? And it was an inkjet printer.
Okay.
And there's white ink, and the white ink, it clogs up, right?
It's just thicker?
Yeah. It's very thicker.
Than the other colors?
Yeah.
Why?
It has titanium in it.
Okay. All right.
So it was during December and I had a problem. And the store was closed, right? For Christmas break.
Yeah.
So each head is around $2,500 and there's two heads. Right? So I was about to lose that head. So I had to tear the whole machine apart on my own. Nobody was there to help us. I go in the I started in my basement, right? So I open up the machine and try to do things and find which motor is not working properly.
You're dismantling every piece
of the machine, the maintenance unit, right? So we do that, and like 2 days in a row, like you don't know. Like if you lose that, then that's it. The machine is gone. You got to spend another $10,000 to change the heads, bring a technician, and then that's going to be after Christmas, January, February. Usually our business is dead.
Yeah, right? Everything just slows down.
Yeah, so you're right in the middle of a busy season, and then you're about to lose that.
Because you were starting to hustle to get clients to put orders in.
Yeah.
And they were probably thinking, I'll give Ben an order, let him take care of it over the holiday break. We start the new year with the order, and I've got all this stuff that I need, and then I can start running my business at that point.
No.
No?
No, they needed those for the Christmas.
For Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas gift.
That was even worse, man.
Yeah. So nobody was there to help. We called a couple of guys. It's an old guy. He helped us. He's a very nice guy. His name is Van. So he helped us over there. And we got this machine rolling back.
How long did this take?
2 straight days. Like, I'm like...
Did you not get frustrated to the point where, like, I'm ready to give up option A again?
Of course. This frustration, this is normal. It comes. In every... Like, the way we run our business is very frustrating. Because everything, every machine that I've got so far... So we started with one machine, right? Every machine that we had and purchased, one was... We didn't do financing.
You bought it out.
Yes, we didn't have good credit.
Yeah.
Nobody told us, oh, this is how credit works, right? So my sister bought a machine, I don't know, in like 2012, 13, a treadmill, and we owed them like maybe like $30, and we forgot about it.
Yeah.
And that went to the credit bureau for 7 years. Over $30, we didn't know about it.
Yeah, it's a game.
And nobody tells you, right?
I know, it's a game, yeah, I know.
So because of that, and that initial amount, I worked for like, throughout university, I worked and I kept that money every year. And I also got, what you call that? Is that a grant or something?
Yeah.
So in university...
Money that's given to you that you don't have to pay back.
Yeah, but also if you get above certain grade, each semester they give you some kind of money.
Scholarship, yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Wasn't it better though? Wasn't it better that... You, like when you look back on it, wasn't it better that you couldn't get the credit and you had to get the money to buy it all out at once?
Yes.
Which is the old school of doing things. Yeah. When you want to buy something, you had the money to buy it. Yeah. You didn't rely on banks and credit.
Yeah.
So it was
better.
What did that do for you and your business? Did that make your business better?
We don't owe anybody anything. In our business.
Because then you make money off of the service that you're providing, the products that you make.
Yeah.
And then you buy a machine and then you produce more product and keep on going from there. But you're not tied to any funding sources.
No. We don't get it. The government hasn't given us a penny. We asked money from nobody. We don't owe, we have financed nothing. And every machine that we bought itself.
It's paid for itself.
Yeah.
From all the work, the product that you've created.
So the way we run our business is we don't live a luxury life, right? For me, I don't care. I can afford a lot of things that I want, but I don't get it. The reason is you got to let your temptation go away a little bit, right?
Yeah.
There's a psychology, there's a word for it. I forgot what it is. It's what you call it. You know, when you push your temptation away, what is it called? There's a psychological term to it. And okay. It's a very important, they do that with kids, right? So there's this...
delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification. That's
okay.
It. So the more...
But that's not today's generation.
None. They're in the Amazon.
They want it now.
Yeah, they're in the Amazon era.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm trying to delay my gratification as much as possible.
Do you question when you're looking at wanting to purchase something personally or business-wise? Do you question yourself and say, do I really want this? Like, do I really need this in my life?
Yeah, I do question, because this is my brother as well, right? Certain things that we buy, there's a reasoning behind it why we buy. And the reasoning is, what is this machine worth? How much can it produce? And do we have the people to sell these products to, right?
Yeah.
So we started with one machine at 60. Then we got a single head embroidery machine around 30,000 just for one. So you can only do one hat at a time, for example.
How long does it take to do one hat, depending on the embroidery? But yeah, on average?
It can take maybe 20 minutes.
20 minutes to do one hat?
Yeah. If it's around, let's say, 15,000 stitches, something pretty complex and very... For example, this logo over here could take maybe... The whole thing, if it was embroidered, could take like 15, 20 minutes. Just one.
Just one.
Just one. And that machine costed us 30,000.
And now you have a machine that does how many?
21.
21?
Yeah, we have 21 heads. We started with one. And all of this is we did in less than 3 years, right? So we went from the basement to a warehouse, to another warehouse, to a bigger warehouse now. And we don't do any advertising.
It's all word of mouth.
Word of mouth and cold calls.
Yeah, that's all right? That is.
They just keep calling people. Just keep calling.
So when you started hustling and looking for sales to get those early numbers because you spent $60,000 on the machine...
Oh yeah, yeah. I was.
You had to create how many things? Like, how many things did you have to print? How many things did you have to sell to pay that off? To break even?
A lot. We make maybe $3 per print, and that's not considered. Like, I don't get paid.
Yeah, no. Right? That's just the hard cost just to produce the product.
For example, we should buy a shirt for $5 or $4, and then you sell it for, let's say, $8, $10, right? We make $3 to $5. Right?
It's not huge volumes.
It's not. No, it's not.
So you got to produce like a lot of product just to break even on that machine.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you, did you get the second machine the moment that the first machine broke even, or did you get the second machine before or after?
No, we waited a little bit. We needed an embroidery for sure.
Okay.
As soon as I could have got that 30,000, we went and bought an embroidery machine.
The embroidery machine for one article at a time.
One article at a time. So I put that we would take shift, right? I would just do work on my computer. When the thing is done, you take it off, you put another one. Go back, do your work on computer, take it off. So it's a grind. It's like, you know what I mean? But the culture...
You're on a 15, 20-minute schedule and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
So the way the mentality is, small drops makes an ocean.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And that's the mentality. For me, when you ask if you could take option A or option B, for me, there was no option A or option B. It was go forward. My motto is forever forward. You know what I mean? Things come, there's always...
Yeah, but there's got to be, Ben, there's got to be things that push you back. There has to be.
There's a lot of things that push us back.
Like on the daily?
On daily, this is normal.
You face that and then push forward still?
There are things that you cannot control, right? And there are things that you can control. You do what you can control, and whatever you cannot control, that's the barrier. You have to hop over it. You have to
just
go forward.
Just let it go.
Yeah. Just forget it. Just keep going. You cannot stay back. You cannot wait. Oh.
But most people stay on that.
Yeah,
right?
They dwell a lot.
They dwell on it. They hang on to it. They carry it as a knapsack over 100%. Their head.
Me, I can be mad at 1 second, And another second, boom, go do your work, whatever you have to do. This not, you cannot stay in that thing. There's too much at stake to stay in one place. You know what I mean?
Because you know deep down the alternative is not what you want.
No, there's no alternative.
If you hang on to that, if you keep looking at the negative,
what is it going to change?
What's it going to do? It's just going to make things worse.
Everything is in the mind. Like, if people say, oh, in the mind, but they don't actually know what it means. It means there are things, it is in your head, forget about it, go to the next thing. It's like in an exam, right? When I was in university, I took a lot of exams. And first thing you do, you go over the questions. You look at the questions, you go flip, see, okay. You might not know the answer for the first question. And what are you going to do there? Just, you have 1 hour, you have 60 questions.
You're going to freeze and just...
You're just going to stay there?
Yeah.
That's it? That's how people are.
Right? So you would read all the questions?
If I don't know first one, hey.
Read the next one.
Next one.
Read the next one.
Yeah, we keep going.
Then once you got to one that you
Once you start rolling, then your brain start connecting neurons together and all that.
Once you get momentum.
Yeah, once you get momentum, you keep rolling. You know what I mean?
So how many machines you got now?
Over $500,000 worth of machine.
Wow.
The first year we spent 60. The second year we spent 30. And then the year after we went...
All out. We went,
yeah.
And you're maintaining all the machines?
I maintain all of them. I know my machines better than the suppliers that they sell it to us. Yeah, like there are some machines.
You should get a consulting fee. Tell them that you can go and service the other machines.
The machines that they sell is not good. I don't want to consult any
of
them.
So you even change the machines too. You make them better.
Yeah, we made our own machine and I had to call in China because all those digital printing machine that comes now is all mostly made in China. But the print heads are from Epson.
One day China's just going to make another Earth and just park it outside right next to it.
Probably if they haven't done it already, you know what I mean? They might have it behind the moon. It's hiding. Nobody knows.
The dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
There.
You know what this? You know why the moon is always dark? You don't see this because China has an Earth behind it.
They already made another Earth there. Simple as that.
Actually, that's interesting.
I wouldn't doubt it, but I've never been out there, so I don't know.
Yeah. So people gotta realize that time in China is 12 hours, I think, ahead.
It's ahead, yeah. So right. You gotta factor that in when you wanna try to communicate.
Yeah, so when I try to communicate, and they don't speak, bless you, brother. They don't speak very well English, right?
So it's hard to even find English speaking people to help.
Oh, no, yeah, they don't speak English like that.
Wow.
They know right, left, and color, that's it. They don't know anything else. So we have to build this whole machine from ground up with, I don't speak Mandarin, right? So one of my buddies from university, he speaks Mandarin. So I had to call him. I was working from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., 8 p.m. And then that was 8 a.m. in China.
Their time, yeah.
So now they just woke up.
Yeah.
But me, my day is about to be finished.
Rapping.
For a whole month, I was staying for till 2, 3 in the morning
talking
to these guys. One straight month.
But you were talking, translating through your buddy.
Yeah.
And then he would talk to them. Yeah. And then he would come back at you and tell you what they said and then go back. Oh, man.
And sometimes he couldn't be there, right? Because he had his own life going on. So I would just go use the translator that they had on WeChat and stuff like that and try to make it work. But now I know the whole machine inside out.
So now when the machine goes down, you know how to fix it.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
But you know how to service it.
100%.
I know. I was at your last place because I know you just recently moved.
Yeah.
And it's like you needed a bigger place, but there was so much work going on there, like so much printing going on.
Yeah, because we don't charge a lot and we give a good quality and customer service. I have customers calling me like 9, 10, 11 p.m. I answer them. And you
put an order in or just...
anything.
Yeah.
Anything. Put an order, have a question about their order, what's the status of my order, this and that. Can you do this? I need it tomorrow. There's a thing, event going on, this and that. I had a customer calling me while I was driving. He called me and he's like, hey, buddy, I got some shirts, but it looks very small. I was like, yeah, I gave you the size chart, man. He's like, oh, yeah, can you get me 250 shirts for tomorrow morning? It was on a Friday, noon. So I have to buy those shirts for my supplier, right?
First.
Yeah.
Then get them to the shop.
Yeah. And
then set up the print.
Yeah.
So how do you and make that
those
happen?
Are digital printing. It's not like screen printing because it was full color, right?
I know, but so how do you make that happen if he's calling you on the Friday and he wants it the next day?
I was on my way to my supplier and I called. When I went there, I called my supplier and I was like, hey, man, this guy needs 250 shirts. Can you get me 250 shirts? And this guy's like, yeah, it might take an hour or two. So I'm waiting there for an hour and two, get the shirts, take it to my shop, and then printing the whole thing takes 5-6 hours because it's a full color print.
So you're going through the night now?
Yeah, till the morning.
Yeah.
And we
what time did he show up the next day to get him?
And he didn't show up. He's not going to come, man. He's like, well, can you Uber it to me? I was like, yeah, sure.
And then you still got to Uber it over to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
He paid for the Uber, but these are why like people like to deal with us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you can pull it off.
Yeah, we can pull it off. Like people, they can go anywhere. Like we are not the only printing company in the city, right?
No, I know.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But you can call me and... if we have a relationship, you can call me, say, hey, Ben, can you do this for me, please? It's a favor, you know? I'll try, no problem. You know what I mean? I will get it for you.
Do you, like, is it not fair that you have to charge a premium?
We don't charge premium for that.
That's what I'm saying, isn't it? But you should, though.
But people don't understand that. They don't understand any of that, right?
It's a little unfair, though.
Of course. There's a lot of things unfair in life, but what are you going to do?
If you speak to some big printing company,
they won't even answer you after 5 p.m.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So that they're not even an option on the table.
Nobody's an option.
So then they call you, they're asking for a miracle.
Yeah.
And then you make it happen, yeah. And you're not charging a premium.
No.
Just to maintain the relationship?
Maintain the relationship, but you got to understand, you one day you might be in that position of... Not obviously, no, I'm not trying to get some t-shirt, but...
No.
You know, something in life can happen. You need... Maybe they're going to be there. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I get it.
We try to help people as much as we can. And but that's how we grow, right? And people tend to refer us to other people. So for us, it's always... We're always grinding. And you got to understand, my customers are also businesses, right?
Yeah, of course.
So... When I contact some other businesses, like, nobody answers. There's nobody answers the call, the messages. For me, you send me a message or a call, you're going to get... If you call me, you get it in first or second ring.
How many times you call a potential customer before you get a deal?
Oh, customers. So cold calling, hey, man, is maybe 1% to 3%.
That's of your business?
No.
1% to 3% that you'll actually get a deal from all the
cold
calls.
Yeah. So I make 100 calls.
So you make 100 calls, you'll get two or three.
Yeah. And, you know, I learned that when I was in Morocco. We went to a trip in my university years. We went to a trip to Morocco, right? And for people who haven't been to Morocco, it's a beautiful place.
I'd love to go there, man. Where were part? Like Casablanca? No.
No, we landed in Marrakech, right? And then we went to Rabat, beautiful place, clean. And then we went to Tangier, beautiful place as well, right? The only thing in Marrakech is these people, they're parasites. Like, they don't take no as an answer. You know, they keep calling, like, hey, you want to buy this? You want to buy this?
The street hustlers.
Yeah, street hustlers.
Yeah, yeah.
And my whole years is like, these guys, they're immune to rejection, right? And this is the mentality.
How old were you when you went there? This is during
2000,
school?
Yeah, 2000. Maybe I was 18, 19 years old.
So they see you and they're trying to sell what to you?
Of course.
They're selling anything to you?
Yeah. I don't know. They had hammam.
Yeah.
You know what hammam is? You know, they go, they give you a massage and stuff.
Okay.
So they just keep selling, whatever. You want to pet the snake? I was like, no, man, I don't want no snake. You know what I mean? You want to see the monkey? I was like, brother, I don't want to see
the monkey or the snake, yeah. Man. No.
Yeah. Be careful when you guys go, because if you take a picture, they're going to charge you. It's like, hey, picture money.
No, I've seen that game before. Right? I know. I totally have seen that. I saw a lot of that in Italy and Pisa.
Really?
It was just like
everywhere.
So many street hustlers. And I'm like, dude, just like.
But hey, there's going to be one person or two person is going to get it. They're going to get
true.
Their money.
They'll totally get a sale out of it. I get it.
So when I started doing cold callings and I started catching feelings, you know, people reject you. That's how it is. Then I was like, hey, man, fuck it.
Did you take it personally at first?
Yeah, you do get personal.
You think, what's wrong with me? Like, why is he not buying from me?
I don't
is
think
it me or what?
No, I don't know what it is. It's your ego and stuff. It's getting to you. You know what I mean? It's an ego thing.
There's only so many no's that you can take, man. Before
yeah,
you start, but before you start realizing what the hell's wrong, like, well, I don't understand what's going on.
No, this is the thing. I'm telling you, it's all mental. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call people today, and I'm just gonna get rejections. I just want rejection. I don't care. Let's just get rejections.
You
today.
Start the day telling yourself,
yeah,
that I'm
no,
call,
don't matter. We're just gonna call.
I'm not gonna be happy unless they tell me no.
Yeah, keep saying no.
Go ahead,
enjoy
say
it.
No.
Say
fine.
No.
Say no again.
Say no. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, to be honest, some people are very
nice. Because
if you
get a yes, then what? Holy cow.
Hey, that's a momentum.
Thank
boom.
You.
You just keep going forward. Keep going forward. This is a game. It's all in the head. You know what I mean? So studying psychology really helped me with that. Like, I started realizing, it's like, yo, if these people in Morocco can do it, they're hustlers, man. What do I have less than them, right? I have a better opportunity. I'm in a better place.
How are people here in Canada on sales?
Terrible.
They give up.
Terrible. Like, I haven't seen any good salespeople, to be honest. Like, not a lot of them. Okay, there's salespeople that are just straight up liars, and there's salespeople that will sell you and tell you, right? The people that are good at selling but lying, they can't just go so far,
mm-hmm.
right? So you will have people like, yeah, man, buy this. This is amazing. Does this gives you total crap, false stats and everything. You get it and you try. It's like, God damn, this don't work as it was portrayed, right? For me, I'm not like that. I'll tell you, hey.
You have to sell something genuine.
I sell genuine, but I sell. People like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll tell you what you need. Do you need this? If you don't need it, don't take it. You know what I mean? And you're going to come back to me.
Of course you will.
You know what I mean? The price I give you, the quality I give you, we have a good...
And you were honest.
Yeah, like I'm not going to... People, you got to realize that there's so many bridges you can burn, right? And those people will refer you to other people. We haven't spent more than $100 on marketing in 4 years.
It's all word of mouth.
Word of mouth. You know what I mean? And we got clients over $100,000 orders, $200,000 orders.
But you're still hustling every day, every week.
Of course, you have to. Because
you have to, right?
The light and everything is there. It's not. You cannot... You got to pay, no matter what. The warehouse is not cheap.
No.
Like, a lot of, I don't know in the construction industry, but these people, they just work from home. That's their office.
Is there another machine that you're looking at right now? You don't need any more machines, do you? Or no?
It's going to be more of the embroidery machines.
Okay. To expand it.
Yeah. Because if we get, for example, 10,000 t-shirts or hats to embroider for, let's say, a golf tournament, that's a lot of hats.
21 at the max that you could do right now for 10, 15 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It starts that up.
Yeah. So that's thing. And yeah, the future will be, we're also getting into sportswear and doing teams, hockey jerseys.
Oh, jerseys and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fully sublimated jerseys.
So you're doing all the stitching and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. We do all the stitching and everything. So we're looking into that. That's a whole different market, but, you know, we just got to go.
What is that? That's a combination of silk screening, but also stitching.
Yeah.
It's the two put together.
Yeah, and then I also got laser.
Yeah. Oh, there's laser too.
For hockey jerseys, you know, the back is like, there's fabric. If you had hockey jerseys, right?
Yeah, I've seen them, yeah.
The back is like, the number is huge, is in like a fabric, and then it's stitched around, right?
Yeah.
So that's
called... But first, you adhere it, you glue it.
Before you glue it, you got to cut it in a laser. Because at 15, where are you going to get the 15? First, you buy it as a fabric. Then the laser, you're going to put it, you're going to cut it out. And then you put some kind of tacky glue temporary.
Yeah.
And then the machine is going to... You're going to put the design on the machine, tell him, hey, I want you to sew from here to here. You put it in, and then once you put it in, and then it's going to stitch around it, right? So now you got yourself a jersey with twill and then stitching around it. So now you got that.
So that takes longer now, because now you got a whole team with different numbers, different names.
Yeah.
You got to make sure everybody's information is correct.
Yeah. It's a lot of logistics.
Back and forth, eh?
Yeah. We do, right now we're doing soccer clubs, but it's not stitching, it's just printing on the back, digital printing with different numbers and names. But yeah, it's logistically it's very complicated. It's not a straightforward thing, right? You got to be very concentrated on sizes because you got youth, you got adult, you got different color combinations.
Yeah.
You got all that, right? So, but it's something we always enjoyed, you know, playing sports. And I think, yeah, we were getting into that. So,
Euro Cup over yet?
Not yet, not yet.
Who's, almost. What's it looking like for the final?
England and Spain. Are in the final, I think.
That's right, Canada lost.
That's the Copa America. That was last night, Copa America. So there's Europe, all the countries in the Europe.
Yeah.
And then there's Copa America, which is South American football.
Oh.
And they invite us.
Okay.
Invite, yeah. This year they decided to invite us, I think, US as well, and I don't know which other country, as a guest.
Okay, yeah. I just saw something on social media there.
Yeah, Canada lost.
Idiot. Argentina. Drake there was making a bet against Argentina, and then Argentina just threw it in his face.
Oh, yeah, but I think Drake is just doing that for promotion or something. You know what I mean? Because it's big.
The so game it's going to be Spain and England?
For the Euro, yeah.
And who do you think is going to win?
Spain has a good team, man. Spain has a great team.
What happened to Portugal? I didn't see. I just know that guys cried.
Oh, yeah.
Contractors cried. They all went to back. I guess they had to go back to work.
Oh, yeah, that's why you have your contractor back. That didn't last long.
Were they crying because they had to go back to work, or were they crying because Portugal lost?
Maybe it's a combination of both.
I think it's both.
Yeah, it's like, now I have to go back to work. And
there's always a fight every year, whether it's World Cup or Euro Cup, if Italy loses or Portuguese loses first, right? So then that it's nation...
Okay. This year was fair, both of them.
Both of them gone.
Went right away, one after the other. One was the first day, the other was the next day. That's how it is, right? But yeah, man, that's that. The mentality that I would give to people is don't be in debt. Work with what you got.
It's too easy. Like, you talk about sales, right?
Yeah. And yeah, there's no good salespeople.
No, no, but the thing, here's the thing. I had a friend of mine back in our, like, your age, man, back in our 20s, he got a job at a bank.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me so many times that his job was always threatened by him not reaching the bank's goals every month. Of basically selling crap, like putting people in debt.
Yeah.
Right? Like offering them services, lines of credit or mortgages or all kinds of crap like that. Yeah. If he didn't hit his target, his numbers. So the bank didn't care. All they cared about was hitting the numbers. So then he was a salesperson talking to his clients saying, listen, you should consider this line of credit. You should consider this mortgage. You should consider like refinancing all this other crap. But he knew deep down
it puts
them in a bad spot, financially speaking. But it benefits the banks, and that's why I don't.
It benefits him.
It doesn't really benefit. He gets a small portion of the commission, but not the same way that the bank gets. The bulk of it, right?
Yeah.
The banks always win. That's the problem. And I think like smart people start learning that the bank are evil, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. People are so reliant on the banks, right? And we've seen that recently in the last few years with the interest rates climbing and everybody that was sold variables. You know, when they should have been considering fixed. Because if people had fixed 3-4 years ago, they would have been in a far better situation. But now the banks are laughing. They're making so much money. And you almost got this mentality of like the bank and the Bank of Canada, and they're like talking to each other going, hey, just hang on to it for a little bit longer. Leave it for another year. Mm-hmm. Because if you leave it for another year, talk about you and your machines where you're like, if I spend 60 grand on this machine, if I'm going to output this much product, this is how much money I can make. You don't think banks do the exact same thing?
Of course.
If we sell this many variable mortgage rates right now, and then we have all these people locked in for the next 5 years, this is how much money we're going to make. But if we lock them into fixed rates, this is how much money we're going to lose.
Yeah.
That's how they look at it.
100%.
So you can't be so reliant. That's why I was really respectful of you being hit that you couldn't get the credit.
Yeah.
And then you said, you know what? Let me earn the money to buy the machine that's going to make me more money.
100%.
Construction should be the same way.
I think it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Right? So when you take a look at it, is sometimes you know you look at things like, oh, why are bad things always happening to me and stuff like that? And 5 years, 10 years down the line, like, oh my God, that was the best thing happened to me. Sometimes the best thing that happens to you, long run, it might be the worst.
And you ever look back? You ever look back on that?
All the time. You have to, if you want to move forward in life, you always have to look back, not to dwell.
No, just a look. Just
think what happened, try to figure things out, analyze, And okay, next time it happens, you're in that similar situation, you're going to be in a similar situation in life.
Of course.
It's all, your whole life is, it's, what you call it? Patterns.
Yeah.
Like, if people think different, no, your life is a pattern. People have certain patterns.
But when you're in that moment in your life and there's a decision in front of you.
Yeah.
At that moment in your life, you don't realize that there's a decision in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the one choice.
Okay.
But then later on in life, you go back and you think about it and you realize that you chose the right one.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't. Didn't seem like it at the time, and it probably made your life worse off at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
But it drove you towards a better life later on.
I do.
And that's why you need to look back on it, because it's the truth of it is that if you look back on some of the hard things that people go through,
yeah,
there was a reason behind going through that.
Yeah.
And if you would have chosen that other easier way, you don't know what your life would have been now. It would have probably been far worse.
Yeah.
Then what?
Then you'd just be complaining, man.
So you can't really just knock all the bad that happens to you in your life.
There's no good or bad. You just gotta push forward, man. Like, if I didn't go what I went through in life since I was a kid, right? I don't know what I've been now. I might have give up. Oh, 60,000, it's okay. What's 60,000 for a person that's going to live, let's say, 80 years?
It's not a lot.
You divide that by months, by years, less than 2,000.
Yeah, it's nothing.
You know what I mean? Take that loss and learn. No. I can't do that.
So what are you going to do 10 years from now?
My goal is the people that I have in my team, I don't want them to be forever workers, right? My whole plan is each one of the people that works for me for a certain years, I want to open their own companies, right?
Part of your company?
Whatever. Part of our companies or not companies. We give them the orders. They fulfill it. They have their own workers. Everything to be taken care of, right?
So you want to expand your network?
Yes. So this is something that I'm trying to do, and you know, trying to really help people around me, right? If I gotta help people around me, because if you're the only person that eats in your circle, then
there's
everybody's staring at you eating, and I'm not a comfortable person to do that,
right? Yeah.
So growing up, whatever we had, the small amount of food or big amount of food, you always gotta share your food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this goes with life overall. Like, if I have something to give you, I will give it to you. You don't have to worry.
I learned something in Turkey whenever I was having a meal, and obviously there's a lot of black tea.
Yeah.
Lots of black tea, right? Yeah. Which I had. And when I was there the first day, I was just being respectful by finishing all of the tea finishing all of my meal, right?
Yeah.
And then Zeki pulled me aside and he said, listen, don't drink all of the tea. Don't eat all of the food.
Mm.
It's just a Turkish culture where it's like, don't appear greedy. Mm. Leave a little bit, you know, there. So then I started paying attention whenever I was going out with people and I noticed that tea was coming or coffee was coming. And everybody was leaving a little bit left in each of the cups, or they were leaving a little bit left of food on the table because they didn't want to appear as greedy.
Yeah.
Like you're taking everything for granted, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting point of the culture there, right?
Yeah, but you see, when you look at Turkey, that's a country, like, you got to realize where Turkey comes from. The Ottoman Empire. They're not a small country, right?
No.
They look, Turkey is, no, like, even now, they don't know, like, Turkey's military forces is in the top five.
It's huge.
You know what I mean?
It's
they make the best drones huge. And everything.
I know, it's scary huge.
So, Turkey's that, but the reason I'm telling you that is because in my culture in Afghanistan, we have this thing, it's called rizq. Rizq means you gotta, if I have food, I will never leave anything behind. You know what I mean? Because for us, like, leaving things behind, this is you're saying to God, no, I don't want this.
Yeah.
So that
was my mindset.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's it's okay.
It's okay.
Like, right? So we don't do, what you call it, leftovers and like, we don't create waste.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta eat everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you can't eat that much, that means you got too much.
Of course.
Next time, get less.
Of course.
Right?
So that's, or invite more people to be a part of it so then you can
yeah,
share
yeah,
it,
whatever
right?
it is. That's what I mean. I can eat as much as I want, or I can eat as little as I want. Depends who's beside me, right? I can have people, okay, we're going to share. I'm going to get full, no matter what. Like, if I'm going to eat with three people, we're going to eat with three people. We're going to be okay. I eat alone, I'm going to eat alone.
What's right? the, because I started discovering this in my, maybe my 30s, the perception of the West when it comes to over there. Like, a lot of Westerners, I'm going to say mostly Americans, don't even travel out that way. So they don't have an idea of how that perception of the West is all about, right? Like, they think that the epicenter of the world is the West.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not, man. You got to understand something. The West is so young, and yeah. it's very naive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to get an understanding of human culture, you need to be over there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But it's just, they don't want to go over there because they're fed a different version of what they think is over there. Right? Which is totally untrue.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, and it goes back to the whole, the Russian thing and all this other political and what's all going on. It's just, I find it funny that the people that are pointing fingers in the West at what they think are enemies or the villain.
Yeah.
I think the people pointing are the villains. You know what I'm saying?
For them, it's just propaganda and whatever they have. You got to understand that the U.S., their dollar is their power.
But right? that power is slowly disappearing.
So what are you going to do about it? Then you got
to point fingers at villains that are not really villains.
If that's what you got to do, that's what they do. That's how it is, man.
Yeah.
This is. I think the way these guys think is that in order for you to have a comfortable life, someone has to suffer.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
the wealthy are wealthy because they take advantage of the poor.
Of course. So then they're going to look at it.
That's basic economics.
Yeah. So then the way they look at it is like, are we going to be the one suffering? No. Do you want to suffer? Right? That's what they're. But I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That if the table turns around, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to be the one suffering.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But there is a certain level. I think the West is going too far.
It's gone way too far.
Yeah. There are things that, you know, when you look at it, do you say the West, how old is the West? There's like probably schools older than the whole history of the West in certain countries.
See,
their houses older than the history of
the West thinks that hundreds of years is old. When you go to Europe and the Middle East and other places around the world,
yeah,
we're talking about thousands of years. The Ottoman Empire is how old?
The Ottoman, oh my God, few thousand years.
Yeah, exactly. There thousands of years. So you're talking about like Egypt. Centuries, man.
When you look at Egypt, they had the center of research and like schooling and in hundreds of years ago.
Yep.
And when you look at Egypt, they had this, obviously not the way we think of politics and hierarchy that we're talking now, but they had that 6,000-7,000 years ago, right? So when you look at 6,000-7,000 years of civilization, people had things, roles to do and take. Yep. And there was some kind of government in comparison to what you have.
But their educational system was designed on the idea of teaching people, especially young people, to be thinkers.
Yes.
The Western education system is not designed to be thinkers. It's designed to be workers.
Yeah.
That's clearly obvious, right? So now people are just waking up to it, you know, just realizing. I'm surprised that even in construction, there aren't more people, parents of construction, pulling their kids out of the system, right? Because the system is broken.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can't obviously agree with how this is being taught, right?
Yeah.
And I think that you're probably better off homeschooling them or teaching them differently because what they're being taught is not right. But then, like you said, you go back to other parts of the world, thousands of years ago, this is how they were educating people because they wanted people to learn. And to contribute and to keep on coming up with new ideas. That's how we advance, man.
Yeah.
But when was the last time that you heard about anything innovative that was coming out of the West regarding new technology other than the abuse of social media? And when I say abuse of social media, I mean data collecting.
Yeah.
Like Zuckerberg is famous for this stuff, right? He's got back doors that are going on all over the place.
Yeah.
For the data that he's been collecting on every single person, right? And that's why, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, I was like, when I was away, I was getting all kinds of birthday congratulations and everything like that. Because I give birthday.
Same here, yeah.
All my social accounts are all fake birthdays.
100%.
I just refuse to give the real one at that point, right?
100%. They say if the product is free, then you're the product.
That's a good point.
Right? So yeah. Facebook, they ain't charging you nothing. You're going to have 20 accounts on Facebook. They're not going to, there's no monthly fee.
They ain't charging you nothing, but they're collecting everything.
So there you go. You're the product that you're being sold, right? So if anything,
I just wish that more people from the West, like more citizens, not politicians, would understand how the world looks really at them. Because they're not appearing the same way that they think they're appearing, right?
Or they want to believe that. They want to make you believe that. They know what they're doing.
Well, there's a certain percentage of Americans don't even leave
the Americans,
America.
No, not the people.
Yeah.
Whoever that's in power controlling, they know what they're doing.
Oh, I know. They totally.
They
it's
think,
a game that they know exactly what
they
are doing.
They think about the 100-year plan. They're not thinking about tomorrow, 2 years from now. They have 50 years, 100 years plan going on. Like these, when you look at these big governments, they don't think 2-3 years. Yeah, you get every 4 years, you get an election.
They're
thinking
about the next pandemic. That's what they're thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't going to happen in our lifetime because we're savvy to it.
Yeah.
But they're definitely going to be thinking about it after we're gone.
Yeah.
And then test it on our grandkids, so to speak.
See how they're going to
see how that's going to work out. I think that, like, I had a lot of time on the plane to come back because I couldn't really sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking that I think if you want to get into politics, you should spend a full year living in the neighborhood that you're representing.
Of course.
Being a part of the community in that neighborhood.
That's
so you get a better understanding of the people that you're asking to vote for you. So you can relate to them a lot better. Because I think the majority of politicians never step foot in the shoes of the people that they're controlling.
There's more poor than rich, right? But where these people, these politicians, they're not poor people.
Politicians, right? People get into politics to become rich.
Yes.
They don't get into politics to help people.
But when we look back at these politicians, right? They don't come from a poor family.
No, but, not really.
But they rule the poor. They rule the middle class. Between the middle class and the poor, there's not a lot.
It's by numbers, right? Which it just blows my mind on the numbers. I just don't understand how so many will let so few dictate what we can do.
Yeah. So there was a statistics the other day, I think from 2000, maybe 10 or 12, whatever it was. So basically 1%, you've probably seen this, but what you did not hear or see is the after. 1% of the people in America, the 1%, the wealthy 1%, owns around 40% of the capital.
Yep.
Okay. And that 1% also owns 38% of the assets. Right? And then the interesting fact and the craziest fact. You know the lower 53%?
Yeah.
They own less than 1%. Can you imagine that? Because people, the 1% owns this and that. No. That's a good to know, but what you should know even more is that the bottom 53%, they own less than 1%.
You know what it is? It's like I've never stepped foot in an owl store, right? Drake's Owl, right?
Ovio?
Yeah, whatever it is, right? I've never stepped foot in it.
Yeah.
I just don't, but so many people hold it with such high regard that they need to buy this and own it. And pay for that, right? Because the price, I think, are stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that people should, these days, create their own individual brands and wear their own individual products. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The thing is, we give too much power like the Swifties. Like there's way too much power to these individuals where if they say something, then their entire clan of people that follow them will buy it. Will buy that product. And then there's that money, right? But what they're forgetting is that a lot of these people are being controlled by other people to do all this stuff.
100%.
Right.
And that's true.
So it's like it's probably been about 20 years that I finally just gave up and I said, I don't care about any brands. I don't care about anything like that. I just see something. I'm looking at it. Okay, fine. It fits me. It buys it. That's it. Done. But I'm not buying it based off a brand, right?
Yeah. So we have some NDA with our business that we are not allowed to talk. But we've produced some of the items for big brands. But I can tell you, it's not the amount you're paying is nowhere close to it.
I don't doubt it.
Nowhere close to it. That's why I stopped buying designer brands.
Well, there was a recent article I saw. I read it. Someone sent it to me. There's a class action suit going on right now in China.
Okay.
Because the factory there that produces the Milwaukee workwear gloves.
Yeah.
They're suing Milwaukee.
Okay.
Because of forced labor. So they're being paid something like $23 a month to be a worker producing these gloves that are sold in America for like $56 for a pair.
They said $56 a pair of gloves?
And the worker who's making these gloves in China is being paid something like $26 for the month of work. Damn. So Milwaukee's not the only one, right? There's lots of brands that go to China there, but they're brokering these deals, and then all of a sudden you got products that are being sold for such a high price point.
Yeah.
And I know what you're saying. It's like they outsource that. There's lots of... I've been to even construction supplier brands that have manufacturing plants here in Canada, and then I'll see a certain line, right? And I'm like, is that so-and-so's? He goes, yeah, we labeled their product.
Yeah, that's how it is.
So they have the same product, same materials inside that bag, but the bagging and the marketing and the design belongs to this other brand.
Yeah.
And they do it as a deal, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, then you start realizing what's really going on.
Yeah, for me, like since I got into the clothing industry, that was the reason why I got in, is because when I look at it, it's like, bro, whatever you say, this shirt is nowhere close to that. Yeah, don't come to me and say, LV, Gucci, this and that. No. This is normal shirt with a screen print on it, and that ain't it.
It's all garbage product.
It's nothing crazy,
but it's the way they market it.
100%.
And then people buy into it, right?
We live in a consumerist society, and the reason why the American dollar is high is because everybody's trying to sell in the U.S. The U.S. just consumes.
Wouldn't it be better to try to sell it outside of the U.S.?
To who? The U.S., the society they live in? Boom, man. You just consume. You buy things that you don't need.
Yeah, I know.
You go to so many people's house, they have so many stuff that they don't even use. They wore it once, use it once. They even used it. They just want to buy it. They just consume, right?
How do you navigate, because you obviously have seen this, there's lots of print-on-demand businesses. Amazon is doing this. Shopify is doing this. All these businesses are now offering all these products that I could order all my T-shirts, all my crap, all this other stuff. But the problem is that the number one complaint that you get from all of this shit is the quality sucks.
The quality sucks. Because
it's offshore, right?
Also, yeah. So, for example, if there are people that, for example, I don't know, one of those companies... Sometimes they're not the one doing the printing.
Yeah. Right? They send it out to somebody else.
Yeah. And they give them like crap money. They don't care about it. So if you're going to make a dollar or two out of this, why would you even care? Right? So in exchange, if you do it yourself, you can make $3 to $5. At least, you know, that $3 to $5, you can, a dollar goes to someone that's going to do a proper job, take their time, versus you give me $1 or $2, like I just have to output. It doesn't care about quality, right? So that's how it is. The reason we don't outsource anything, and the reason why I want my people, all of my workers, to have their own shop is because then we're not really outsourcing it, right? It's still the people they've worked for us.
Yeah.
They know
just building your network bigger.
Yeah. They know our quality that we want. They know what we expect, right? And our codes, integrity, morals, all of it. And that's why I want to take that route. Instead of giving to some random guy, you don't know what they do. Maybe you have met them a couple of times. No, We want the people that work for us. We're going to help them get all the equipment set up. We're going to send you the orders.
Yeah. And you take care of it.
Yeah.
You make some money off of it. We make a little bit of money off of it.
Yeah.
And we do more work together. Simple as that.
And hopefully they can do the same for their workers. Right? That's the whole plan. It's like a tree. It's like keep building it. That's it.
You don't print on everything, though.
We print on almost anything, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's something that you can't print on?
Water and air. No, we print
not
on
yet.
Not yet. We don't. We print on almost anything, man. Paper, banners. If you need high-vis safety wear, mugs, laser, like all of it.
Coffee mugs, travel mugs.
Yeah, all of it.
Carpenter's pencils. Yeah.
Pencils?
Yeah, carpenter's pencils.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do these. You know what I mean? We always try to innovate. It's a business, especially in our business, is either innovate or you die. And it's a very fast business because you got to realize fast fashion, right? Fashion keeps changing. New method comes, new
things
come.
There's lots of competition too.
Of course. But the competition filters itself out, right? No, people don't want to work. People don't want to work. For some reason, like, they say there's no work, and when there's work, they don't want to work. You get it?
They say there's no work because they just want to have a conversation. But there's lots of work. You just have to find it.
Yeah.
There's always work.
There's always something to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because, this and that. So for example, obviously, we're not a company that has work 24/7, right? The other times it's slower. What we do is clean up the place, learn the machinery, learn new methods of doing things, speed up your process, right? In your off time, that's what you should be doing. For example, I don't know in the construction, but the way you receive an order, what do you got to do next? You get an order, you got to see your inventory. If you don't have it, you place the order. If you have it, you place it in a basket with a PO. Everything is there, right? So when the person that is doing the job sees everything, what product it is, what type of decoration it needs, where it needs to be decorated, what are the sizes, quantities, colors. Like all of it, there's so much variation, right?
Yeah.
It's not all, we're just going to put bricks here, that's it.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of things into it. So that's what you got to improve. In construction business, maybe, hey, I don't know, how can we do this thing faster, right? How can we organize it better? There's always going to be a way to speed things up, one, without the quality being wrong, and two, this is not cutting corners, it's actually seeing it. When you do some things often, you start having this mentally and with your fingers, you become good at it. And you can do things that if you just start, you won't be able to do.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So you have to set up systems for you, for your team and everybody. So that way you guys are faster and more efficient. Actually, my apologies. Not faster, more efficient. You got to be more efficient.
Yeah.
You can always be more efficient. It doesn't matter.
Somebody else is going to come along and figure out a way to be more efficient.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
When I was younger, I used to work with this Irish guy. I was doing some roofing. And he used to come to work and just drink. And we were on the roof. I'm like, I wanted to finish the job faster than him. And then he used to go complain to me. He's like, yeah, man, you know, these Chinese guy, they come and they do the roof in a day. I was like, the way I'm looking at it, you ain't going to get to that level anytime soon, you know? He comes, complains to me about his wife, his life and stuff. I was like, brother, man, I'm here, you know, I only have my own problem.
That's his just mindset, man. That's how he looked at life.
Yeah, I was like, bro, he was good at it, okay? Bless you. He was good at what he was doing.
Yeah.
And we don't take away from that. I'm not going to take away.
But still, though.
But he didn't have the work ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was lazy and he was drinking. And while I was taking the whole roof down, and it gets hot, and I was the only guy there, I would take the shingles on my shoulders, climb the ladder.
See, that's hard work, man.
You know what I mean? But you tell these guys, like, yo, can we, like, let's do this so we can go to the next place. But he was just like that. He would say it. And
we ain't saying that all Irish guys drinks, okay? That's a stereotype. Okay. Don't worry about that.
Is that what it is?
There's plenty of Portuguese that drink as well, too. There's plenty of Italians that drink. Yeah. All kinds of people drink, right? On or off the job site.
Yeah, me.
I'm not judging.
Yeah, we're not judging here. I was just the guy that
worked. I got to do the 12 questions, but I want to go back to China building the second earth there. For 1 second, you remember when Virgin Galactic, Richard Branson, he suggested that he was going to start launching...
Is that the guy with the Virgin Airp?
Okay. Anything Virgin related is his, right? So, but he launched Galactic and he was talking about he was going to start doing flights in outer space, right? So you can get on there. And I was like, okay, that's wonderful. And it's like $250,000 a pop.
Hold on. That reminds me of the guy that went into the Titanic thing, man.
Submarine stuff?
Yeah,
those are a bunch of monkeys there. There's another billionaire who wants to rebuild the Titanic exactly the same. And I'm like, okay, go ahead and do that if you want. It's fine.
Just make sure they got the insurance so they pay for the whatever happens. There's no...
Yeah, just get the same guy who got the insurance on the World Trade Center and the Baltimore Bridge. He's just the luckiest guy ever, how that works out. But my point about being out in space is that I don't want to be disappointed because I don't know if you know this, but whenever you see space...
Yeah.
There's so much satellite activity out there, so many units out there that apparently you can't even see Earth. Like it's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's so many. The ones that we know about that were brought up there, you know, because SpaceX is just a business now designed on carrying satellites up there.
Yeah.
So you only have an idea of how many deals of what's going on out there. But I mean, if I ever were to have the money to get on that galactic flight and get out there and see the Earth from out there, I think I'd be thoroughly disappointed seeing all this technology in my view, you know what I mean? Bothering me because I want to see what I've always seen in movies where it's like, okay, that's the beautiful Earth that I want to look at, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll check out China's Earth another time, but I'll look at this one for now. But
yeah, make sure you look behind the moon.
On the dark side of the moon.
Next thing you know, the moon is just a flat thing. The moon is gone. They took it. They made another moon, you know?
www.tthrones.com. What's the email again? Sorry.
We care at tthrones.com.
And then on Instagram, it's tthrones, at tthrones, and you'll get them there. Now, understand, if anybody's looking for any TCL swag, we're basically going to print anything, man.
100%.
We're going to print anything.
Yeah.
So we're going to, like, obviously, we're going to have espresso cups. We're going to have coffee cups. We're going to do... Yeah. We're going to do the hoodies, the tanks, the shorts,
We're going to get some hats.
We're going to do some hats, embroider the hats and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about doing boxer shorts as well, too.
Yeah,
I want to do boxer shorts.
I just hope it's not your face around there.
It's not my face. It's going to be the logo on the side. It's not going to be in the center.
Say, your haters might want to say, hey, I want to write on the...
I'm not going to do
on
that.
The hole.
I'm not going to
cover. Cover.
You know what? I won't care if the haters want to buy because I'll, you know.
Money is money,
but I also do want to say that the one idea that you shared, which I thought was brilliant, is that we want to take a percentage of every single sale and we're going to give it to charity, right?
Charity.
So, and you already, and we'll let everybody know the charity that we're going to be attached to.
Yeah, everything is going to be accounted for.
So yeah, that's and I thought it was a brilliant idea when you brought it up. So I was like, yeah for sure, we're going to do that. So watch for that. That's going to get launched soon. So I'm all happy about that. But let me do these questions here, man.
Can I say one
couple go ahead, of sure. things? You say anything you want.
Yeah, so for the people that are listening, I just want to say, you know, this is a tough time for everybody. Like, after COVID, whatever happened, the business is not the same. People are panicking, saying, oh, the job, this and that. No. Whatever happened during COVID, it's going to take some time, but things are going to balance out in the next whatever years. But when you look at long term, this is just going to be a little hiccup of whatever you're doing right now. So don't give up. There's one, two second things I would tell people is, like, if anybody has kids, I believe the best thing that you can teach them or give them in life is not money, is to teach them how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta learn how to learn. You understand? It sounds so simple, but once you start learning on how to learn things, life becomes way easier, right? Teach your kids something like that. Teach them the value of life. Teach them the value of friendship. Teach them the value of family, kind, and respect, right? So if you guys, you know, show love to your kids, to your friends, and to the people in the same industry as you, you guys gonna go further together than being alone, right? So
100%.
That's what I want to tell people.
Well said. It's important. The value is a lot more important than money.
100%. Right. Because people, one day you might be down, one day they might be down. You know, if you help each other, I think you guys gonna be in a better place than, you know.
There's a lot of people going through some hardships right now.
Yeah,
a lot of people are going through that, right? So just understand that.
Yeah, it's and I'm just gonna say one thing about the hardship is that there are people that come from overseas that came here as a student, whatever they were doing. I don't want to go into that, but they live in one room.
Yeah,
in one room, four people lives in a room. Can you imagine that? Whatever you're going through, that like I've been through some hard stuff in life. That's okay, it's gone, but trust me, you're not in that situation. If you have three other guys living beside you that you don't know them, and they live in the same room, as you, that's hard. And in one case there was a lady living in there too, so there's no privacy. That's literally, I think jail is a better place at that point, but trust me, there's hardship for everybody. You're not alone. And drugs and alcohol is not the way to go, man. You got to face life for what it is, and it doesn't last forever. Bad things don't last forever. Good things don't last forever. So you just got to go through it. Yeah, whatever it is. Go ahead for your 12 questions, brother. My apologies for that.
No. You don't have to apologize to anything, man. What is your favorite construction word or phrase?
Come again?
What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Construction word or phrase? I don't know. There was a video I saw. It's like bites. When you get electrocuted.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
it bites, yeah.
Yeah, that's I got that.
I hate
that. I got that, right? So there was a guy that came and installed one of our machines, and he did it up, whatever it was.
Negative, positive, or yeah, neutral, whatever.
And it was 120 volt.
And
we kept getting electrocuted. It was obviously me, my brother, and my cousin. We didn't allow anyone else to get into the machine. I was like, wow, this is not normal. I call him. He's like, yeah, man, you know what? Just don't touch metal to metal. I was like, bro, it's like, how can we do that? We put it in a small room. And I called another electrician. He opens it like, bro, this guy put the positive niggas. It's like, you guys are getting electrocuted 120 volt every time. I was like, that's bites.
Least favorite tool?
To be honest, I don't know about tools much, but
it could be anything. It doesn't have to be construction related. It could be any kind of tool.
At least.
I've had people say politicians.
Oh, yeah. They're a tool. Yeah. I don't know, man. I had a question. How good is Hilti?
Hilti's really good, but they're really expensive.
Right?
And I don't like the exclusivity that they've created. You could only go to a Hilti dealer or a Hilti service person, which are far and few.
Yeah.
Right. So if anything ever goes down,
yeah.
So that's why I'm not a huge fan of it. They're creating a Hilti club.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to go where they tell you to go. And I'm not a fan of that. But their product's great.
Yeah. Because I have one of my friends, their tools, like this guy showed me an app. Their tools, like, yeah, I know this thing's going to.
Everybody's getting on the app now. I know.
I don't know. It's like so cool. It's like, what? This is like, yeah, I mean, sometimes this thing, I know exactly where this tool is. Yeah. It's like, we got to get this maintenance soon. I was like, damn, this is a very good product.
No, but what's your least favorite one?
My least favorite one? I don't know, to be honest, man. I'm not a handy person, but I want to become a handy person. Probably those
Handsaw?
Yeah. Whoever came up with the automatic, genius, because I don't know, you get back pain after that.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Oh, man. Shit, that ain't much.
No, you don't miss much?
I miss a lot. Growing up is like we had some friends that, you know, we would go out playing outside. Now that I look at these streets, there's nobody there. Our mom used to beat us up so we go home. Now it's the other way around. People are all on the computer.
Nobody's outside. Nobody's doing outside. Anything.
It's sad, man.
The city's outlawed snowball, whatever, going down a hill.
Oh, tobogganing.
Yeah, nobody, no, they outlaw that. They outlaw the street hockey. They outlaw, yeah, it's like you're outlawing things to be physically active, right?
No. If I have kids, they're going to play street hockey. It doesn't matter.
I don't care. Give me the fine. Give me tickets, man. Okay, so, all right. What construction sound do you love?
Construction sound?
Sound.
Shit. I think it's the... Is it jackhammer?
Jackhammer? You love that sound?
I don't want to be the guy doing it.
It's actually... Yeah, I'm surprised that somebody hasn't thrown that into a rap in some sort of track, right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Probably did. We just don't know about it.
Well, there's Benny Biassi's version. He's got that Satisfaction version, which is using all construction sounds too. What's your favorite beverage?
Man, I stopped. Okay, I don't drink alcohol and I've never drank alcohol, but I don't know. Canada Dry. I like Canada Dry, man.
Canada Dry?
Yeah, and oh, the old Coke. Okay, so when you go to, like, you know, you have Coca-Cola here, right? And they use, I think it's sucrose or something.
Yeah.
Right? And in Iran, they use dates.
Dates?
The sugar from dates.
What's it taste like?
Hey, it tastes way better.
I'm not a Coke drinker. I'm not a pop drinker.
Like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, have you ever drank
Coke? Yeah, like a long time ago. Yeah. But the problem is I would have had rum and Coke. So you're tasting the rum and the Coke, right? So I wouldn't have just Coke on its own. I was never a pop guy.
Okay, so basically...
So it tastes different. It tastes sweeter?
It's not only sweet, but it tastes way better. Because the way it is, they used to make it with sugar cane. Yeah, this original was made from sugar cane.
Okay.
Right? Then you can't really export sugar cane over here. It gets too expensive, right?
Yeah.
So they started just putting some shitty sugar, right? So that's
processed
why...
Processed sugar then.
Yeah. So since Coca-Cola has a bottling right, which is like, if you're going to buy Coca-Cola in Iran, obviously now... The Islamic State took over it. They own the Coca-Cola thing. But let's say you go to Pakistan, you just buy the name and you start bottling it, right? So they over there, they use either sugar cane or in the case of Iran, they use dates, sugar dates. From dates. It's amazing, man.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
What turns you on and off in construction? Actually, change that to like what turns you on and off in printing?
Turn on and turn off. I don't know, man. For me, I cannot let myself... There's a lot of things that turn on and turn off, but I just do it. At this point, I don't think about it.
So any offs, you just don't deal with it and you just focus on the ons?
No. I did not say that. Okay, for example, you have let's say 500 chairs to heat press.
Okay.
And you got to put pressure... Right, okay. That's really turn off
a lot of work. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But I still do it
because you have to.
So you don't
have any offs then.
You can't have offs. Like, what do you mean by offs? Like, I just don't
something
do it?
You don't like. Something you don't like.
Obviously, I don't like doing that.
But you still do it.
Of course, you have to do it. This is life.
And what do you really like about it?
The designing part of it, the creative part of it,
coming up with the ideas.
Yes, is that like? People think, oh, you do whatever you do. No, whatever you do in life, there's most things that you're not going to like than like.
We got to mess around with this logo and do a bunch of different versions.
No, we're
going to
be working on that.
Yeah,
so.
All kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah. We're going to be.
I hear you. No, I totally hear you, man. Favorite curse word? You don't swear, do you swear? Yeah, you swear. Of course you swear.
Yeah, I swear a lot. F word.
The F word?
Yeah.
It's a go-to.
Yes.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of the transportation?
Oh, okay. So when I was a kid, right? I think I told you that. So when I was a kid, it was in Iran. So I was watching this cartoon, right? I think it was maybe the Transformers or something. Back the old Transformer cartoon, right? And they had this Lamborghini.
Yeah.
With a butterfly door.
Yeah, the Countach.
Yeah, the Countach. And then I was like, remember, like, we're in Iran, bro. Back then, you had Peugeots, bro. When you had Peugeot, you're at the top of the line. You know what I mean? It's like, you own a Peugeot, you're balling. Me, I'm like, yo, one day, either I buy this car or I will make it myself. Like, coming to a realization now, you know, I could probably afford it, but maybe in 20 years, not now.
It was the go-to when I was growing up.
Was it?
It was the, like, you had... As a kid, as a guy, as a boy, there was two posters in your room. One would have been the white Lamborghini Countach.
Yeah.
And if you weren't a Lamborghini person, uh-huh. then it'd be the red, Ferrari. You know, Ferrari Testarossa or the Ferrari GTO at the time, right?
Yeah.
So those would be the two cars that you would have a poster of, right?
Yeah.
But everybody just freaked out at the Countach. The problem with the Countach, I've never driven one. I want to drive one one day just to try it. I don't want to own one.
Yeah.
I'd rather own the Lamborghini LM002, mm-hmm. the 4x4 that they made, like in the early 90s, I think they made right? Yeah.
But I think had one of them.
Sorry?
Tupac, I think, had one of
them. Did he have one of those?
I think so.
Tupac is still alive anywhere somewhere. That's it. He's hanging out, right? He's hanging out somewhere. He's not dead. But I heard it's really difficult to drive that Countach, the original.
Mm.
You can't see behind you at all.
Oh.
Right? Like, there's no...
You can't
see anything. It's extremely difficult. Plus, only half the window goes down on the side.
Yeah.
You get that bar, right?
It's something like that, yeah.
So it's not the very friendliest vehicle to drive, but it's a sexy-looking vehicle, right?
Yeah, especially for its time.
It was way ahead of its time.
You know, another car that was ahead of its time is the, I think, what's it called? Gullwing?
With the Mercedes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That car, man.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I would take that anytime.
Timeless. I saw one. Yeah, I saw. Actually, yeah, we drove one in Turkey. I saw one there. A 1950, on the street. And I was like,
that's a hell of a lot of expensive car to be driving.
It was just sitting there. And I was like, do you have any idea? Like, that was not a kid. I looked at it. I was like, that's an original car there, man. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was stunning, man. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Profession, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Because I'm not a clothing designer yet.
No, yeah.
I would go.
But you can be.
Yeah. Designing. That's why I always wanted to design clothing. Like from pieces, like the patterns, creating the patterns and everything, right? Hopefully one day you can see me.
Suits?
I'm not a big suit guy, bro.
No?
No.
Well, there's a lot of skill in designing a suit and cutting a suit. And stitching a suit, right?
100%. Yeah.
Okay, so one day, what profession would you not like to do?
Oh, either those plumbers or those garbage people, like the garbage thing. I respect them a lot. Every time I see them, I tell them hi, communicate with them.
Respect,
I know. You got to appreciate them.
Last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
No,
I'm just being respectful. Everybody's religion, right? So that's why I always say that.
If God tells me you've fulfilled what you had to do in this life, that's all it takes, man. You know, because you don't know what's your potential, right?
Of course,
it's God knows. It's like people think that they know themselves so well that the truth is there, you don't know.
No, you don't.
Your mom knows you better than you do, right? And the people that looks at you, they know you better than you do, like your older siblings and everything. Like if they really have developed mind and everything, they're cultured, and there's people, a lot of people that they know you better than you do, right? So if someone tells you something, gives you an advice, take it with a grain of salt, but make sure you take it and step back and just look at it, because we're not perfect and we will never be. At least we can try. Right?
The objective is not to be perfect at all.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben. It's always good to see you, bro. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much. Everybody's going to check this out. You'll see the links and we'll figure it out. And anybody who's curious about reaching out and getting some swag right now, let me know. Just reach out and let me know, and I'll connect you to Ben and he'll take care of everything for us.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
We're out of here.